Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated March 10th, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, looks like today and the next couple of weeks I will be doing this alone as Asclepius is on a wonderful vacation getaway, a cruise, so having a lot of fun there, I would hope, and that's great. So always good to take a vacation and enjoy life, so to say. So that's good news for Asclepius, and we will miss him dearly. So hopefully everything is safe and sound over there across the seas. So looks like we've got some a pretty good release here. It's update of the Avatar, number 218. Wow, we're getting up here in numbers. We have the City Kobold Weapons, Obsidian Kabbalist Wearables, Making of New Scenes, Bigger Bundles, Music Weekend Flash Sale, and a Rare Map Bundle, and more. So let's see what we've got here. This sounds like some good stuff going on here. We're starting out with the City Kobold Weapons. In Release 39, we began work on what we are calling our City Kobolds. These are the Kobolds that live in Shkrek and other places like Kroll. They are much more advanced than anyone else in Novia and the source of almost all of the technology that you see in the game, including clockwork creatures and ether vibration amplifiers. City Kobolds use advanced armor and weaponry, including chainswords, electric axes, gas guns, electric blunderbusses, grenades, etc. Oh boy, they're gonna hurt. In Release 39, we introduced a few weapons for the City Kobolds, including an electric blunderbuss and a chainsword. The chainsword can be looted from the kobolds and wielded. And yes, I've seen them. They're really cool looking. It can even be salvaged for patterns. In Release 40, we will be introducing a handful of new bludgeon weapons for these kobolds, as well that players can loot from them and wield or try to salvage for patterns. In future releases, players will also be able to loot the ranged weapons and use them as well. We are also adding the ornate chain sword to the add-on store. So there you go, another way to get it. And so this is great. Say, all these new things that have been coming in lately have given us the option to get patterns. And I've only recently been playing with patterns and having a whole lot of fun with them. So it's definitely an awesome thing. As far as I'm concerned, it's almost like a cosmetics system, except for a whole lot better, because you can actually make your weapon beautiful and keep the weapon you'd already had created and just, you know, look great on top of being, you know, as powerful as you were without losing. You know, I remember you wanted to use some of your stuff that you got in your pledges, your founders, whatever's. And they were really cool, but it's like, well, that's not nearly as good as my weapon. So here we go. We've got the options now. This is just great. The only problem I found is in my salvage work so far, I've yet to come up with a pattern. And I heard of a pretty low percentage. And I've got GM salvage in my blacksmithing, and I'm working GM for carpentry. I've decided to move that to GM. It was pretty close, but I figure I'll finish it up. Just to see, because there's a lot of things I'd like to get patterns for, too. Even some of the junky bows and stuff that you you find off the bodies are not too bad looking, at least based on looking them in the inventory. They look neater than the basic bow. So anything's an improvement, you know, when you find it. Anything different is an improvement, as far as I'm concerned. So good stuff there. So let's see here. Here's a dev post from Skullmuncher34 Kinnear. And new kobold weapons. The kobold arsenal is getting an upgrade as well. Here are some new items, which include both one-handed and two-handed electric axes, as well as a steam-powered hammer. So there's some pictures of this, and this is really cool. It looks like they glow. That's a question I would ask. Do they glow? And do they have a light source involved with them? Because they're very glowy, beautiful weapons. With the gold brassish gold coloring on the handle. And, I'm curious if there's any electricity involved in these. I guess there probably is. I think they're called electric axes and electric two-handed axes. So they probably have some kind of a electric charge when you hit somebody with them. And hopefully that includes a stun and all those kind of things. So that'll be very fun to mess with. Definitely get your bludgeon people out and test those out. Trying to think if I've got a bludgeon guy. I don't know if I have one as of yet. When I got my Malay guy uses spears, having fun with those, and my newest play with character is using a bow, because I wanted to get in on that fun. All right, and then we've got a ornate chain sword. I've seen pictures of that. People found that. It's really cool. Dual wielding them and you set them on fire. They're beautiful. And then we have, let's see, what else do we have here? We also have a dev forum post from, well, again, from Fletcher Schoolmuncher 34. Kobold projectile weapons. Here is a look at some of the projectile weapons that the kobolds use, including the cloud cannon, the electric rifle, and the electric blunderbuss. Now, the first time I saw this one, it looks like it's a gun of some kind, but it looks like there's a barrel on top of it with a big view. I would assume that's some sort of a viewfinder where you can kind of get your aim. And then there's a little handle on the side, almost like you gotta crank the handle to get it to shoot. So that probably shoots pretty fast, too, with that kind of a mechanism on it. So that's the cloud. It's called a cloud cannon. It's very cool. And then we have the electric rifle, which is a nice looking weapon too. It looks like it'll do some damage. And the electric blunderbuss almost looks like it's made out of a lot of metal and some glass. You know, that looks like the lighting source, but I would venture to guess it's not glass, although it would break too easily. But very cool too. I'd be curious how much damage these things do and exactly what they do. These are totally different weapons than anything we've played with. We've never had guns, so that's just another aspect of the game that we are getting here. And I think they call it clockwork steampunk type of stuff. So, yeah, it's all coming in. It's all getting cool. And for anybody that's into all of these technologies, you're going to be wanting to try to get hold of some of this stuff. So it's going to be great to see it. All right. So we've got next the Obsidian Kabbalist Wearables. Now, this is some good news for those of us that like robes and things of that sort. Last week, we revealed the Obsidian Kabbalist for the first time. This week, we have some more detailed Sketchfab renders to share of both a Kabbalist and the wearable version of the hood and robe. We also have a close-up of the Kabbalist boots. As a reminder, all of these are lootable from defeated Kabbalists. Oh, that's so good. So for a change, these guys that are wearing great robes, when you loot them, they'll have a robe instead of just, you know, a wand and a staff. Yeah, you know, I always say that about these some of these elves and stuff I fight. They have these kind of nice robes I've never seen anywhere, but they never drop them. It's like they never are on the body, so this will be very cool. Very cool indeed. Okay, so the Obsidian Kabbalists are ancient sorcerers of the Obsidian Order who have prolonged their lives through twisted use of magic. These horrible entities worship the eight anti-virtues and seek to fulfill the dire prophecies by laying siege to the towns of Novia. Starting with Release 40, they will be found in town sieges, wielding unique vile artifacts that players who are able to defeat them may be able to loot. Those artifacts include unique hoods and weapons for each Kabbalist, as well as the robes. So isn't that cool? So they're going to have special weapons as well. So I would assume some sort of a mage type weapon, because they do not look like they're swordsmen by any means. And here's another dev post from Kevin Ugly Fist Wells. Hey folks, I wanted to add a couple of links to the complete Kabbalist player wearable model, as well as the enemy NPC, so you guys can check them out in 3D. So yeah, we have that option again to press play and take a peek. We have the wearable robe with a hooded mask, and very cool. And it sounds to me like they're making them separate items, which is great for those of us that may or may not want to wear a hood. Instead, we want to wear maybe our wizard's hat or not wear a hat at all. We've seen that too, and even though wearing a hat is pretty important as far as extra stats go, but I know some people that like to go hatless and shoeless, but we'll leave that for now. And then we have Kabbalist Nefario, and so that's his name, it looks like, and he's, looks like he's got almost like a undead look to him, so that's cool. And then the Kabbalist boots. Now, I've heard some comments on the boots, because they look like a piece of plate mail to me, which does not exactly go with a robe, but, you know, these Kabbalists, they may be a whole different kind of people. So I'm just kind of curious if the boots are considered plate armor or cloth armor, so they don't look like cloth to me, though, so I'm just curious. Just curious, a little bit of a question there. But we will probably get more details about that very soon. All right, so that is the latest there on the Kabbalists, and that's all good news. So in Release 40, we will have to go over to a siege and see how hard these guys are to defeat. My guess is I shan't be doing it alone. Just a little FYI, a couple days ago I did go into a siege, just for the fun of it. My kind of new character I was playing with, and actually I was just doing the outskirts of it, really, just to see, get the feel of it, see if I could grab an artifact, which of course I could not. But it was fun, and a little challenging, but a little fun. But I didn't get into the main part of the siege where you're getting the catapults and all those things, but it was a newer character, so it was just for a little bit of fun. What I was doing is I was just walking around on a map, kind of trying to find a place to explore or fight, and there was like a burning area on the map. I was like, what's this? And apparently that's where the sieges are. There's a burning area. It looks like something's on fire. And it was an actual place you normally could go to, and it was on fire. So it's pretty cool. They got like a visual effect on the map for these sieges too, which is a very nice touch. I like that. I like that a lot. All right, so here we go. Next, we have the making of the Serpent Spine Mines. I think we've been talking about this last few times, so these are always fun. This is the first remake of a mine, by the way, and it's very exciting to me because I love going into the mines, and I'll love it even more if there's some cool things. So, the Serpent Spine Mines are located in the northern end of the Serpent Spine Mountain Range in the North Palatus region of Novia. Kobolds have ranged farther west than normal to exploit the rich ore veins and crystal deposits in this vast mine. This will be one of our most vertically oriented mines to date, with a large central chamber featuring deep vertical shafts, elevators, and mine carts. This scene started as a clone of Graf Gem Mines, but is being completely rebuilt for a live date, hopefully in release 40. Oh, wow. So they're hoping for release 40 on this new mine. This will be awesome. And by the way, if anybody knows the mines like I do, that's a good mine for iron ore. That's where I get my iron supply. So hopefully they leave some iron in there for us, because it's one of the few places where it's available. All right, so this is a dev forum post from Chris Seawolf. I have a few screenshots which show the mines with updated waterfalls and water materials. These will eventually undergo a final pass from our visual effects artist. And there's some great pictures of inside the mine, and it looks kind of sort of misty, foggy, some smoky look going on there. A lot of water. And a lot of high up area there with some platforms and bridges going across. It looks really cool. Totally different than any mine I've ever seen. So this is going to be a whole new adventure, which is awesome. So unfortunately, that's all it says. So that was the extent of what we're going to hear about this mine. But hopefully coming out in release 40, that'll be great. So that's not too far off. All right, next up we have the making of the Fall. No one is quite sure who built this mysterious dungeon beneath Blood Bay, but is filled with an incredible array of dangers and rewards. The Fall gets its name from the giant vertical open space that defines the middle of the dungeon, with crisscrossing bridges and elevators. The dungeon is an open PvP area, so enter at your own risk. And we hope to have this live in release 41. So that's coming up pretty soon, too. And here's a dev forum post from Travis Vascorpor Koleski. Some more progress. And so here's some great pictures here. Very awesome looking statues, and looks like a blue skylight if I had to guess what that is. Some floating thing. It's hard to tell because his pictures are kind of small. So that's all we're going to get on this one, this picture. Thanks for following the Fall, and that's the extent of that particular post too. So we're keeping it pretty short and sweet this week, because it's kind of just a progress thing. We've been talking about these for a few weeks, so I think they're just giving us what little bit they get done each week, which is cool, because it's nice to keep up to date on these things, because I'm very excited about a lot of these new areas, especially these redone ones that we've kind of been waiting on, especially the mines. We've been waiting on those to be done, even though, you know, you kind of get used to them. You like the pathing, and you know which walls to break and all these things, but that's all going to change. So good luck with that, huh? I'm telling you, it's probably going to get harder too. You know, they're talking about ore being hard to get now. Imagine when earth elementals are not so big a deal now. Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so next up here, we've got a post here from Lum. NPC submission requests from Harvest. For Developer Plus pledge holders who have the pledge reward to create NPCs, please see This forum post from Scott Lum Jennings. So, from a Dev Plus forum here, a post from Mr. Lum. Thank you for your continuing support of Shroud of the Avatar. This month, in addition to Estgard, we are seeking entries for inhabitants of the village of Harvest. Harvest is the port of entry to the Kingdom of Norgard, on the mainland side of the channel. It is primarily a farming community, but sees a good bit of traffic between the Knights of Norgard, Bastion of Resolute, and Norgard proper. If you do not want your backer NPC to be in Harvest, you may want to wait. I will update this thread if we are running low on submissions. Generally, we are okay on duplicate submissions for characters who don't get adopted, such as guards, but if you absolutely have a character who should be in a given city, such as Brittany, you should wait until we advertise for that city. So it sounds like a whole bunch of cities are still yet to come if you're still trying to decide where you're going to put your NPC. So good stuff there. And first, some brief notes. Harvest is one of our uncloning scenes where we go back post-final wipe and fill out unique content for each village and city. Thus, the NPC's already in the game, but we can change appearance to a degree as seen below, gender, etc., to suit your quest. If you want to pick a specific NPC, for example, one near your own house, we will do our best to accommodate you, but may not be able to. Note that this process is just to make Harvest NPCs different. Harvest has already had a physical uncloning pass, and its layout is basically final for release. We are backfilling NPCs that should have backstories at this point. NPC visual customization, as you may have noticed, is still at a very early stage in development. Right now, for the backers who want to be added to Harvest, we cannot offer any visual customization options beyond our standard gallery of NPC models. If you would like to have input over the visual customization of your NPC, you can wait for further releases when we offer this. We will also allow a one-time visual re-customization once customization has been added if you would like to add your NPC now. And we have no ETA on when this will be available. But fortunately, it is coming, which is good news. Response to this will be on a first-come, first-served basis for each call for responses. If your NPC doesn't appear in Harvest, feel free to respond again in future posts. We have quite a few towns and cities to populate. And yes, we do. It's a big game. We are allowing people who have already submitted NPCs to submit their ideas for Harvest as well, if they like. But people who have not yet submitted an NPC will take priority over those who have. When responding, please list a first and a second choice for a profession. NPCs for Harvest must be human. No kobolds, please. And no trolls, no other things either, I would assume. All right, so still with us? Great. Here is what we need this month. Okay, so we've got a big list of things here. And the counts are updated as of 3-6. Looks like looking for 5 guards, 1 innkeeper, a waiter, waitress, 1 crafting merchant, 1 fishing merchant, 1 cooking merchant, 1 blacksmith, 1 decoration merchant, 1 housing deeds merchant, 1 magical supplies merchant, 1 Norgard crown merchant, 1 crafting trainer, 1 combat trainer, 1 public vendor, 1 banker, and 1 town crier. So if any of those are people you've been wanting to put in, there you go. Here's your option. If you'd like to have your namesake be a resident of Harvest, please respond via private message on this forum to me, Lum, using the following format. NPC name, NPC gender, NPC profession first choice, NPC profession second choice, an NPC background, which is optional, a paragraph on whom your NPC is, how they would respond to nosy outlanders poking about their business, what brings them to Harvest or keeps them there, or anything else you'd like to add. We reserve the right to edit and or reject any background that does not fit the lore and setting of the game. So yeah, you get too carried away and you're going to say, no, you can't talk about that. So yeah, I know it'd be fun, wouldn't it? Let's just put some free advertising. Yeah, sure. No, that's not going to happen. All right, so please specify in your submission that this NPC is for Harvest. We will respond if your NPC is used, if it is rejected for whatever reason, such as an inappropriate name, If it is a supplied background, if the supplied background is inappropriate, or if your NPC missed the cutoff for this release. Thanks for your support and see you in Harvest. So that's a great opportunity for anybody who wants to drop their NPC in there. And I was saying before, I still haven't come up with that, if I'm even going to come up with it. It's one of those things you really got to have some sort of, what do they call it? Creativity, that's the word, yeah. I kind of lost that along the way somewhere, but yeah, it's fun. Some people are great at that stuff, so looking forward to seeing what everybody comes up with. All right, now we've got some great news here. We've got the Spring Telethon 2017 results. So the telethon was awesome. I watched it last night, and I watched most all of it because I actually took off work early yesterday and watched a whole bunch of it, so it was great. So our Spring Telethon was a huge success, and we achieved all of our planned stretch goal rewards. And then we had to make a few more. A heartfelt thank you from the entire dev team to you, our backers, that have contributed to the development funding of Shroud of the Avatar. Thursday's event was yet another example of your amazing support and contributions. The total raised for further game development as of midnight on March 9th was amazing. It was $142,000. Wow, now that is awesome. That's got to be close to the record. I think that we had a $200,000 time, but that was exquisite. Great job indeed on everybody who pledged and earned your way through a bunch of great stretch goals. So as promised, telethon funding stretch goal rewards will be rewarded to any backers that pledged a minimum of $5 from the start of the telethon until midnight, March 9th. Spending store credit to make a $5 minimum purchase does not apply. These rewards should show up on your account page within the next couple of weeks and will begin showing up in the game over the next few releases, starting as soon as release 40. Wow, so that's fast. So we're going to be getting these things real quick. Achieved. So what we got here, a special reward, wooden duck decoration. Watch the housing deep dive for an explanation. So they talked about it there. And also achieved $10,000 flower leap emote. Leap into the air and throw flowers. So there we go. Another flower emote for us all. The one we throw them on the ground school too. I got that one. Also achieved $25,000 butterfly mask. Oh, very cool mask there for the ladies, I would assume. Very nice. Also achieved $35,000 the stained glass hand lantern. Oh, isn't that cool? I would wonder if you could carry that around. That'd be fun. Look kind of hokey in the dungeon, wouldn't it? But it would be cool. Achieved $50,000 floral pattern stained glass oil table lamp 3-pack. Oh, now this is the thing I wanted. The absolute most are just gorgeous. Yeah, just sitting on your table there, so that'll be awesome. So get your tables ready. Also achieved $65,000 reward, the white flowered topiatry creature statues, a 3-pack of dragon, bear, and satyr. And those are, there's a picture of those as well. And those are, looks like they're made out of hedges or grass or, you know, how they do the hedge statue thingies. So there they are. They're beautiful. Wow. Those are going to be cool. Looking forward to those too. Great on the yard. Great on, hopefully you can put them on the town if you want to and all those kind of things. So that'd be cool. Very nice. So next, achieve the $80,000 leaf shield and leaf spear. Now, if you were watching the telethon, you just got to see how these were coming, and they are totally nice. Beautiful indeed. Looking forward to those. And $100,000 one was also reached. That is a large spring-themed fountain with floating candles. Oh, cool. Looking forward to seeing what that looks like. I haven't seen it yet. And then also achieved, now this is a good one, $130,000, the thorn bow and the thorn shield, the thorn sword. So you got a bow and a sword. Very nice for us bow folks that want to use a different looking bow. That's great, and it's beautiful as well. I've seen that one too. They had some showing us how he was making those, so that was awesome. And then also the $140,000 one they barely made, and this is the one I was also excited about, a thorn wand and a thorn staff, a thorn mace, and a thorn two-handed sword. Wow, I didn't realize they'd thrown the mace and the two-handed sword in there. I went to bed before this was finished. But that is awesome. So see how us mages get a special staff and wands. So looking forward to seeing those. I haven't done any special wands, so that'll be a first on those. That's awesome. And staffs, there's the one they've put in the store, which I already grabbed because it's so cool. They're like, I can get rid of that little skeleton one I've got. I'll get something new. So it's so cool. Very cool stuff. And then 150,000 goal we didn't make, which was sounding cool to me too. It's a mini mushroom Psychriabin monster pet, which sends out cloud spores that make avatars drunk. And hopefully at one time or another they can maybe get that in, or maybe do it on the next one, continuation type of thing. But maybe there's like, oh good, we didn't have to do that. Of course, that'd be fun to get drunk with your pet like that. But oh well, what do you do? That's still cool though. Very good stuff. All right, so we had deep dives, answered questions, danced, sang, did shots, spun the wheel of fortune, had flash sales, and handed out tons of prizes, including a silver clockwork armor, an orange flamberge two-handed sword, an elven elder fighter armor, an ornate flamberge two-handed sword pattern pack, a Viking helm pattern pack, a sigil cloak 3-pack, remote bank access device, a Lord British cloak, an ornate wealthy merchant outfit, a Viking village water home, an ancient wall sculpture set, a last chance hat 5-pack, cobblestone walkway pavers, ornate water platform, a Doris shotgun armor, druid town home, shogun castle wall set, gold crowns, and several items courtesy of Relics by Reeld. So it was very good. I was really jealous of a couple of prizes because, you know, these patterns are just so exciting to me. It's like, oh man, how do I not buy all of these, even though I don't even use some of these weapons? They're just so cool. You know, you can, if nothing else, you can make these cool weapons and sell them, you know, with patterns on them. Imagine how much money you can get for those. Yeah, that's just cool. Totally cool stuff. So yeah, very, very fun time it was indeed. And I was quite enjoying it. And yeah, the singing and the dancing, always fun to listen to, especially when Richard was singing with Chris there. They did a great job on that song, too, by the way. If anybody's listening, awesome. Good job. So we did not have time to answer all of the questions on Monday, but on Monday, Dark Star will be posting all of the ones that we missed to the forum. So that'll be awesome to get to read about question and answers, which are always good. There were many amazing moments, such as when the Mad Hatter presented Scotty Jones with the keys to Xenos, along with this incredible before and after video. And it was a great video and an awesome keepsake that he created there. And it's just an awesome time with Scotty and the Mad Hatter. Good stuff there. Missed participating in the telethon event? Watch the entire stream above on Twitch, with a permanent recording being made available on the YouTube next week. So we can catch her on YouTube next week and take a double hit on what we missed or want to see again. And so it was a very fun event. It's just awesome. So good stuff there. All right, so now we've got another announcement here from Darkstar. Making the bundles bigger. From a forum post here. Greetings, Avatar. Over the last week, we have been reviewing the contents of the bundles, Elven, Cobalt, Obsidian, Shogun, Viking, and auditing them for value and relevance versus current feature sets. After careful analysis, we've decided to add content to many of the bundles to both increase their overall value, make them more relevant to the current features, patterns, magic movers, and the remote bank access, and add any themed items that were not originally included. These additions begin with an additional Magic Mover slot at the two-story Rowhouse bundle and proceed from there. So below you will find a complete list of the additions to each bundle. These changes are retroactive, so anyone who has already purchased a bundle will also receive these. Oh, yay, that's good news. Some of these additions will be delivered as soon as this week, but some will not appear until release 40. So keep an eye out and do a little refresh on your bank there to make sure there's nothing new poking into your bank there. That's good news. So for anybody that's, and it covers all the Elven bundles and all of the Cobalt bundles, whole bunch of stuff too, by the way. And it covers all of the Make a Difference, let's see, Make a Difference Blood Charity bundles, those expensive ones that are awesome. And let's see here, the Obsidian bundles have a bunch of stuff added to them. And the Shogun bundles have some great stuff added to them. The Viking bundles have some great stuff added to them as well. And I won't read through this list because it's quite exhaustive. But you take a peek. There's all kind of great stuff added to these bundles. I mean, if you bought a bundle, you're going to be extremely happy. Because it looks to me like they've doubled the stuff that you had in there or more. That's just awesome. So good stuff. And makes me want to go buy a bundle. I mean, look at all the stuff you get now. It's just, that's an awesome value. Good job there. Very awesome of the devs to give us some more stuff, which is always fun. We always want more stuff, don't we? That is for sure. All right, so next up on the agenda, we have the Music Weekend Flash Sale. So this weekend kicks off the annual SXSW Festival here in Austin, Texas. While originally a music festival, it has since expanded to include film, interactive gaming, and most recently, education conferences. In addition, in celebration of SXSW, we're having a 20% off weekend flash sale on all music-related items, representing over 25 items. So 25 items in the store are going to be 20% off this weekend, which is good news. So here's the complete list of the music-related items you will find on sale this weekend, and you can go through those. Again, that's a good list of things, all the instruments and the wax cylinders and the radios and all those kind of things. Even the Contosh stuff, the album covers and the die sets and stuff is included in this, looks like, being that's related to music, because that's Mr. Shooter Jennings there. Great musician, so that's related to music. So that's great stuff. So awesome, awesome stuff. So if you want to get those, you're 20% off here. So good time for it. All right, so next. Here's something I haven't seen. This is, you know, I want to read the, I don't always sneak peek on these, so this is exciting stuff too. Lord British Original Shroud Cloth Map Prototype 1 Bundle. Oh my goodness. Haven't we been waiting for a cloth map for a while? Any of us had pledged a while ago? It's like, oh my goodness, they're talking about a cloth map. I'm going to die. So this is good. During the original Kickstarter for Shroud of the Avatar, artist Stephen Daniele drew the very first version of the map of Novia used in the demo. Richard Lord British Garriott then took that original drawing and used a piece of the cloth map, the cloth and iron-on kit. He created a prototype on what the cloth map might look like. This is the actual first cloth map prototype, number one, handmade by Lord British himself, and now available for sale on the Make a Difference store. As with the other Blood Charity items, 10% of the proceeds will be donated to the not-for-profit blood bank that you can help select. You can help select. Wow. I'm just kidding. Boy, I wonder how much this is then. So this must be not just like something everybody can get. This is almost like it's a one-of-a-kind type thing. Oh, this is quite exciting. So the digital rewards for this bundle are identical to the Lord British Blood Reliquary bundles, which include the following. Physical items, original Shroud Cloth Map Prototype 1, one of two original cloth maps from artwork by Stephen Daniele. Approximate dimensions are 8 inches by 11 inches, and the material is cloth. A studio visit, come and see our offices in Austin, Texas. Travel costs are not included. The dates to be coordinated by and approved by Poor Larium. And let's see. Digital items include early access to Shroud of the Avatar Forsaken Verse Choose Episode 1. And then I have blood-themed items. We've got the Blood Fountain, the Blood Reliquary Home Decoration, the option to have your player-owned town water turn blood red. Yeah, that's a good one. The Blood Elemental Pet, the Blood Rain Emote, the Blood Red Lord British Cloak. Oh, that'd be cool. And then we have the, let's see, Viking Tax-Free POT Castle Bundle. So they've also got, see, these are castles. That's the thing about these bundles. They have castle lots included in them, so they're just awesome. And they come with a tax-free player-owned town castle lot deed, the Viking Great Hall City Home. That's a nice home. Two-story city stone basement. Get 35 gold crowns of the obsidians, 12 prosperity tools, a Viking helm, a Viking fur-collared cloak, a Viking tur shield, Viking Brimhilder shield, Viking gore shield, ornate Mirkshimpum wolf pipe. Boy, let me talk about these words. Pick 12 obsidian potions, an aura Viking chest, all kind of, I can go through, this is an exhaustive list here, I'm going through them all. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you get here, and I would venture to guess the price is going to be up there like with the blood ones. So take a peek at that and see if you're interested in it, because I'm going to tell you one thing, that cloth map would be so awesome. And I guess it's an original, it's not just your normal map that there's a whole bunch of copies of. This is like an original, so that's just cool. So I want to take a peek at this. It's called the Lord British Original Shroud Cloth Map Prototype Number 1 Bundle. So it's on the Make a Difference store there. So yeah, that's awesome. Just totally awesome. I'm psyched about that. I just love to see this cloth map getting going. You know, it's stuff we want to hang on our walls, you know. And we won't get quite so lost, even though we do have the great map there by Jacob White in SotoMap.com, which is good stuff too. So here we go. We've got R39 offline data format change, character preservation notice. Okay, we've been talking about this the last few weeks, last few months even. So just like in release 38, during release 39, the offline mode save game format is changing to support new and upcoming gameplay features. So what it all boils down to is you need to go into your save games, open them all up, and resave them, so they do not get destroyed or lost or messed up or whatever's going to happen come release 40. So if you don't do it by release 40, these saved games will not work anymore. So make sure that if you really, really, really need those saved games, go in there and open them and resave them. And if you're like me, what I would probably do, just because I'm kind of a save gameaholic and I could have hundreds of saved games, I'd probably just save the last couple. You know, because if you have, you know, the first 20 or 30 or 40 are probably, you know, nothing special. So the last few at least, though, guys, because that's where you're left off. You don't want to lose your character. So very important. Get that done before release 40, because everything's going to be changing and messing you up there if you don't do it. So good stuff there. All right. Spring 2017 Crafters Competition winners. Ooh, yeah. Remember the Crafters Competition we've been talking about? So now we got the winners. Congratulations to the winners of the Crafters Competition. It was not an easy task crafting these pieces, as some of the raw resources had to be gathered in very dangerous and remote areas across New Britannia. Amazingly fine work all. And yeah, these were some awesome, I looked through this thread, and these were some awesome, awesome pieces of armor and weaponry that I was just drooling over myself. So yeah. So here's some screenshots of each of the winning entries below. You can click on the images to view each submission. So first place, we have Scofer. So congratulations to Scofer there. And second place is Minerva's group. And good stuff. Congratulations to Minerva. And third place is a tie with Iliot and Kashiva. Ah, congratulations. Good job. And that's cool. And I know some of these people from the forum, so it's cool to see them win. And also an honorable mention is NimUCW. So cool. Honorable mention there. Very cool. Very nice. Good stuff. And congratulations to all. Very good work on those armors. I looked at them. I think all the submissions were awesome. There were some really impressive ones there. I was thinking, my goodness, how do you craft something like that? I just always boggles my mind. I mean, I've got GM and a couple of crafts, but I do not have the lower tier stuff high, you know, that high. Because it takes literally thousands, millions even, of ingots to get that stuff raised, because it's very slow. And it's tedious. You know how it is getting enough for to get one ingot? You need five for each, you know, chance, or for each, you know, move on your skill. And it doesn't move a point every time you do it either. So you can just imagine how long it takes to get this stuff raised. And so all I can say is you guys are just dedicated. Dedicated crafters, and probably the best crafters in the game are doing these things. So it's just congratulations to all. And very good stuff there. Awesome. I am very, very proud of you. All right, so next on the agenda, we've got upcoming events. So the upcoming events we have thus far coming up are on March the 17th. That's coming up, look like, next week. SXSW Gaming is video game early access too early. So we've been talking about this a while, so it's heading in next week. Good stuff. March 30th, we have release number 40. That's a big one. That's a good one. There's a lot of good stuff coming in release 40. They keep saying, oh yeah, this might make 40. This might make 40, and I'm so excited. So let's see what happens. April 27th, we have release 41. May 25th, we have release 42. And on June 29th, we have release 43. So that's all the upcoming events we have listed thus far. I noticed we've been holding June 29th there for a little bit. So let's see what's going on there. Yeah, good stuff. I always like to kind of read into these things. That's just me, though. All right, so visit the official community calendar to see the great lineup of activities our amazing community has planned for this weekend. And be sure to check out this month's release events thread in the Soda Forums for additional events. So the event of the week, Conversations in PAX Lair. Oh, okay, that's right. I did hear a rumor of this. So the New Britannia Theater Troupe and Avatars Radio present Conversations in the Shadows of PAX Lair. So we had this play a couple of weeks ago, and so I guess it looks like they're doing it again. So You have heard the voices across New Britannia, heard the whispers around Pax Lair, and waited with bated breath for the New Britannia Theatre Troupe to perform. You shall wait no longer. The New Britannia Theatre Troupe and Avatars Radio proudly present two fantastic radio plays on March the 5th. Now, wait a minute. It says March the 5th, 2017. So, New Britannia time. Come join us in Pax Lair as we hear the sound of several community members perform two great plays written by great Gabriel Nightshadow and Wambi and presented in the only place that seemed fitting, the Keep in Pax Lair. Enjoy the show. Now, just an FYI there, we did go to this a couple of weeks ago. It was not last week. I think it was the week before last. And it was awesome to hear those plays because I hadn't heard the conversations in the Shadows of Pax Lair. I hadn't heard that one, so it was awesome to hear. And the other one was one we'd actually done physically as a stage play when it first came out. And it was fun. A lot of fun. And lots of great actors. Dr. Shroud. And we have Coeur d'Alene. And we have me. And we have Asclepius is doing some fun customer work and some narration there. It was just awesome. Amber Rain and Jinx. I'm trying to think of everybody. We got Sophie. It was awesome. Just so many great voices. And, I'm just not 100% sure when this is. If it is coming up, maybe it's just a misprint. But anyway around it, you can find these things on the Echoes from the Caverns website. So if nothing else, you can go play it yourself. I'm not 100% sure if they meant this weekend or if this is just a misprint. I'm not sure what's going on with this, but here I am. I'm just announcing the news, so just take a peek at that. It was on a Sunday last time we did this, just so March 5th is come and gone. So you might want to just check into that. I guess I'm kind of unprepared because I didn't realize that was there. So, but anyway, awesome stuff. So good to watch those again. If they are coming around again, I would definitely be there. So I will check into it myself. All right, so community resources, players helping players. The official SOTA New Players Welcome Forum and the Player Created Resources Forum have the best player created resources for Shroud of the Avatar, whether it's a player written guide, a video walkthrough, or a wiki type website. Visit the official community resources page for a complete listing of all things community. So that's great stuff there. So you can always go there to see what all is going on. If you're bored, look for an event. Go find a place to go. That's what we've always said in the past, that there's really no reason to be bored in this game. There's just too much to do, too much to see. Aside from the vast amount of things to see in the game itself, you've got the vast amount of things that people are creating for you to see and participate in. And a great community here. Just unbelievable. We always say that, and it's always true. So good stuff there. All right, so we have, again, recommended projects to back. We have Crowfall. Now, we've talked about Crowfall a few times. In this Throne War simulator, characters are persistent, but the campaign worlds are not, thanks to voxel technology, which enables fully destructible settings, a seamless blend of an MMO with a large-scale strategy game. Players are immortal champions traveling between realms to fight in an eternal war of the gods. So definitely the place to be if you're interested in a destructible environment, which is always awesome, you know, destructible environments. They're just, you can't beat those. You know, you break down a wall, you dig into a hole, into a mountain, it stays there. It's part of the environment now. You've just created something new. It's actually quite awesome. You're making your mark. We'll put it that way. So it's good stuff. So try Crowfall out if you're interested. It sounds like it's out and available for play, so definitely take a peek. All right, last but least, this is, I'll tell you one thing, we've talked about this for 2 or 3 years. It seems it's got to be a long time. Backer shipping addresses. Okay, guys, now here you go. In preparation for shipping the backer's physical pledge rewards later this year, we have added a shipper address field to the account profile page. What it all narrows down to is type that all in when you're placing an order, or just go in there and do it. You don't have to place an order to do it. Edit your profile, type it in, put it in there, make sure it's right. That way, when they ship all of our stuff or anything you may have won, it will go to the right place, because I don't think they're going to call you and verify it. It's, if it's in there, you know, it better be right. So just make sure. Do a double check if you're worried about it. And as a reminder, be sure that support at portalarium.com is unblocked from from your email account. Make sure of that. Wouldn't want to block poor Larry because we got all kind of great stuff in our mail from them. And that's all awesome. So that is the news of the week. And hopefully it wasn't completely boring. I ran through it fairly fast. Maybe it was a shorter week, news week than normal. But I hope everybody is having a lot of fun in the game. I'm telling you, it's an ongoing fun for me. I'm not the best person at exploring and doing too much new things to talk about. The only thing of relevance I can tell you about that I did in recent time is with my new character, I went to Soul Town and did some quests because there was the new situation with the blued out people, you know, so you know they got a quest, which I don't mind it myself just because, hey, dumb me, I don't talk to everybody. I just, oh, there's somebody to talk to because they're blue, they got a quest. So, and you know, it's good for experience. And they've, just a little FYI, they've redone some of the quests. They've changed a little bit, so they're actually a little more interesting. So I was actually quite happy to redo a few quests and get some pretty good experience and even quite a bit of gold. So definitely a good thing. So Soul Town's a good place to go for some easy quests. My character was a little bit beyond them, but they were still, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I got like 5, 7, 8,000 XP to my pool. So at any level, that's handy, you know, unless you're level 70 or 80 or something like that. But, you know, when you're 10 and 11 and 15 and 20, that's awesome stuff. I mean, that makes it so you can raise another skill to 40. I mean, yeah, getting to 40 is fairly easy. So, yeah, make it easier for yourself. So, good stuff. And just enjoy playing a game. I always do. And I will close us out now so you don't get too bored with my ramblings. The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tico for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. And this is Lord Baldrith with Echoes from the Caverns.